Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football. Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football. What you want, we've got a mighty hard to listen, but it makes your race glisten. Our voice is about the game. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too. And you went about the podcast too. Just a sight where Jeremy and love can match it, and kiss the cream the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashton, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to the podcast too.
It is. That
is you. You love this podcast too.
And that is our theme song. We can actually play it live now, which is pretty cool, or as we do the show. So this is Jeremy here joining us. We do the show randomly once a week, three times a week. But you can always find our stuff out at MWCConnection.com. Same thing on Twitter, MWCConnection. Facebook, Mountain West Connection. We'll be joined by Chris here in just a moment as he's trying to figure this out, calling in me through his cell phone, it looks like, as we chat right now. And we'll also be joined by Brandon Huffman, scout.com. He could be online right now, but I'm going to have to text him, and, well, maybe not. I will figure out in a moment because I'm still working the kinks out of this thing. And hopefully I sound okay since my microphone's going weird. But we will get Chris here momentarily and Brandon as well to talk about Mountain West recruiting and everything else we can talk about. That signing day is a couple weeks away. But maybe we'll dive into a tiny bit of Senior Bowl stuff since the Mountain West had a good showing there. And let me just take a quick look at season. It looks like we have Chris, are you with me now?
I am with you now.
Can you actually hear me?
I can actually hear you.
Good, because my mic, something went wrong with it. It's about to start to record, so hopefully I sound okay. Welcome to our new setup.
All right, do I sound fine?
You sound as good as you always do, even better.
Hooray.
Yeah, not quite as good as your cell phone coverage, but like I say, do you know who our guest is, correct, tonight?
What?
You know who our guest is this evening, correct?
Yes, it's Brandon Huffman, scout.com.
And if I know how to work a caller here, because he says he's on the line, but I don't see him waiting here. So do you have any – what should you ask him? Before we bring him on, what should you be asking him?
Ooh, I don't know. I think it's about Wyoming recruiting, right?
Everything. Oh, it's everything, man.
Everything?
He's everything? Yes, anything about Mountain West, anything about the West Coast, he should have an answer for us. I will draw a name at random and see if he knows the kid. That might be too
excellent.
Probably not that deep, but he has a good knowledge. He broke some news a few recruits today, a couple of New Mexico guys. He has something on Boise State, which we'll see if he'll give us a hint on, because it is you have to be a subscription to get that, but maybe he'll give us something out here. But let's try to make it here just a moment.
Yeah, so if you don't mind me, I'm just cleaning up my stuff right now. So.
Awesome. Do you have any Boise State recruits you want to talk to them about? They had a big visit this weekend, a big couple of them.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been up to date in recruiting in the past few days. But
just the past few days?
I know that we have a... What?
I said just the past few days.
just the past few days. Hey.
Yeah.
Just the past few. I've been gone. I've been doing other things.
I told
but
him.
I know that we flipped a Utah wide receiver commit. And
yeah,
that was
right.
McNichols from Santa Margarita. I know that we have a possible recruit in terms of Thomas Stewart.
He's already the quarterback.
And
he's
a quarterback. What?
He's already committed.
Yeah, I think he committed correctly. Yeah.
Yeah, JUCO guy a couple weeks ago.
And then our last commit that I thought that we had was this guy, Xavier Hoxie.
Excellent. Yeah, he's a good one as well. But they had a bunch of visits. We can actually have Brad Kea. I don't know what he's really thinking about doing, but he got a free trip, like he said publicly. I'm owed my 5 trips, which take your trips. I don't care. You're a teenager, say what you want, but I don't think you should say I'm fully committed here no matter what. But I'm still going to take the class just to see.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay, it looks like he got a message from our man Brandy. Should be on here momentarily. He should be. He's calling through Skype and it's not showing up, but not a problem. So,
doesn't call through Skype, I called through a phone number. So.
Yes, you didn't click on that Skype icon?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. He says he
made a I instead highlighted the number and actually, called from my phone.
Awesome. Excellent. But before I bring him on really quick, are you surprised that San Diego State has pretty much overwhelming majority best class so far?
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I think the reason why I can agree with that is basically because you have recruitment. Yeah, I agree with San Diego. No, I think it's because right now you have the most stability in coaching. I mean, you still have Bob Toledo as defensive coordinator. You still have Rocky Long as head coach. They're not planning on leaving anytime soon, and they're not really being looked at. So, you have a lot of stability there. You have a growing program. San Diego State is kind of out of its dark ages, continuously growing. I think that's why they look like the strongest class. Now, how they develop, that's a completely different story.
Because, at this level, it's all about who you got, who you can bring in, and how much better they could be. So, still, this is awesome. And did you listen to our last show really quick, Chris? Did you listen to that, the first 10 minutes?
That looked for the what?
Did you listen to the first 10 minutes of our last show?
No, I didn't.
Good, because it sounded much worse than this of me trying to figure out what to do when my computer froze on me. So,
here's the reason why.
We're doing these things live. This will be fun. This is exciting. And then it's like,
reason why. It's because you finally have somebody who can BS his way through anything and make it sound actually reasonable.
I could have, but I had no internet browsers whatsoever. Like, everything froze, so. Hold on. I got another email here. Yes, I know. He can hear me. I'm glad you can hear us, Brandon. Hi, Brandon. We can hear you. I'm going to have you call in a separate way because for some reason, as my new system shows, nobody's on the line with Chris. Let me do this quick. I apologize for that.
So anyway, while he is trying to bring on Brandon,
what have you
I'll
been
go
up
ahead
to,
and
Chris?
Make the announcement. What?
What announcement? We have an announcement?
Oh, no. Nothing that's actually related to the show or, Mountain West at all. I was just going to talk about my weekend.
Sure, go for it. How was your weekend, man?
My weekend was fine. I am officially a master's graduate.
Congratulations.
All right, now, shouldn't you be trying to bring on, somebody important?
I would. I'm having him to call me in because for some reason, if you can hear me, Brad, assume you can, just dial in. I don't know why I'm not. Oh, he's here. It worked. Oh, I like
Brandon,
your
can you hear it?
Hold on. Before I say, I'm not going to. sorry. I'll bring you on, Brandon. Brandon, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Hey, it worked.
Yes.
Amazing. Technology is awesome. There might be some sort of delay calling in. So, as you can tell, we're very organized here this evening.
Hey, it's all right. Just blame technology.
Of course, this is my second time using this. I got tutorials. It should pull up right away. And then, whatever, there's a delay. You're here. So, first of all, before we get to any of the topics we're talking about, do you get any sleep for the next week and a half at all?
You know what? Saturdays are the days that I sleep because Most of the guys are on their visits. There's nothing going on Saturday. So last Saturday, too, I went to bed before 9 o'clock, but I'm up at 4:30, 5 in the morning Pacific time to get things rolling for kids that are visiting the East Coast. So, yeah, I get one day a week where I get to sleep, and then I think it's done. And then we got signing day, and then I'll sleep after that, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I've heard you say, like, oh, I'll get a couple hours here and there. So we know you cover the West Coast, and now you're the national guy as well, but you still, I assume, still know everything out West.
I'd like to think so.
Well, that's what I follow you on Twitter. I hear you on other shows and things, and I think you know what you're talking about. So that's why we have you on, so that's always a good reason if you're wanted. So
sure.
The first thing I want to get into is what kind of coaching change of, like, with Boise State, Wyoming? Let's stick with Boise State, first of all. They had a bunch of guys this weekend. I think there's one guy I've read a little bit going over to Washington again. I haven't seen too much of a downturn besides a couple guys with Chris Peterson leaving and Brian Harsin coming. Is that kind of normal, you think, that they kind of almost going to steady for the most part, not losing a ton of guys, just maybe one or two?
Yeah, I mean, they've lost quite a few more than one or two, but the players that they've gotten as a result of that have turned out to be pretty good players. And the one thing you can say about Brian Harsin and his new staff is they got a top 75 safety from Texas, who was originally a Texas A&M commit. You know, Chris Peterson's staff never got a top 100 guy, even with all their success. And, you know, Brian Harsin's on the job for less than a month. And I think Marcel Yates, his new defensive coordinator, was on the job less than 2-3 weeks and was able to bring in Dylan Sumner-Gardner. So that right there just kind of shows the aggressiveness that the new Boise State staff is really utilizing in recruiting. And, I mean, yeah, they lost some depth in terms of the guys they had commitments from, but I think this class may end up being stronger, and especially when you think the two coordinators they brought in both aren't just good position coordinators, but they're both great recruiters. So I almost think in that respect it was a net gain for the Broncos.
And let me ask you this, the Dylan Sumner-Gardner pickup, was it just because Marcel Yates was super aggressive in bringing him in, or was it just this whole staff as a whole?
I think it had more to do with the fact that Marcel Yates is a great recruiter and really built that relationship with Sumner-Gardner while he was at A&M. Because to get a kid from the state of Texas and to convince him to leave what's really, you know, probably one of the four or five hot cheek programs right now in college football, and to get him to leave the state, to come up and in a sense leave the playing in the SEC, which a lot of these kids dream of doing, to leave the SEC and to come to the Mountain West, I think that is almost 100% because of his relationship with Yates and Yates' ability to recruit. It also probably didn't hurt that he's going to have a chance to, you know, get on the field early and maybe the best defensive player that Boise State has, certainly the most talented player they've ever brought in. But I think, you know, it's more chalked up to the relationship he had with Yates than, you know, than Boise State really presenting themselves this great picture to him for a long time.
Okay, so what is Brian Harsin doing? We all see the ATF whatever on Twitter all the time. I've talked to a couple different Boise State guys. What's kind of the difference for their style compared to, like, Chris Peterson? Because they're saying Peterson wants a good guy, and Harsin's kind of being the same type of situation of how he's presenting the school. He wants a good kid, students, academics, that type of stuff. Is his style the similar way he's presenting Boise State as before, as Chris Peterson was?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still selling Boise State the same way that Chris Peterson went after. But, you know, I think the OKG, the our kind of guy mantra that Peterson had when he was at Boise, that he's taken to Washington, and he's really kind of hammered home that, you know, that alias, the OKG. I think the Boise State I think every coaching staff goes after their kind of guy. I think the difference is that Boise State's not the staff that Harsin has now, and Harsin in particular, they're not willing to just, you know, if a kid has no interest in Boise State, they're probably not going to waste a lot of resources, but they're not just going to say, okay, well, this kid's got SEC offers or ACC offers or Pac-12 or Big 12 offers. They're going to still go after those kids and try to flip those kids. It wasn't that common for Chris Peterson and his staff to try to flip a kid, even let alone flip a kid that may have been committed to one of the Big 5 or 6 conferences. And yet, in the first month, Brian Harsin flips Dylan Sumner-Gardner, and then they brought in Brad Kaya for an official visit, who's been a longtime commit to Miami. So that's something that I don't think you would have ever seen under Peterson. If the kid committed, you know, he had his own stance on his own commits, whereas I think Brian Harsin's like, hey, everybody's fair game until they sign their letter of intent.
Yeah, and, I mean, we'll get off Boise State recruiting in a bit, but, I mean, that whole situation first with Kaya, but really more or less, how it's out of curiosity with me, how close was K.J. Carter-Samuels to picking Boise over Washington?
You know, I don't think he was as close as Boise State fans probably would have hoped he was, and that's largely because I don't think that he ever felt that he was the guy that this staff wanted. I think it was pretty clear that the Boise State staff wanted Brad Kaya, and that stems largely from the relationship that Mike Sanford had with him while he was at Stanford. Stanford brought in Keller Christ in this class. He's a local kid, plays at Palo Alto High School, which is literally, you know, right next door to the Stanford campus and probably 1,000 feet from Stanford Stadium. So it was never going to really pursue another quarterback unless they knew what Keller Christ was going to do. But before Keller Christ made his decision, Mike Sanford, as the quarterback coach, was still reaching out and trying to have some backup plans in place. Two of those were K.J. Carter-Samuels, who played down the road in San Jose, and then Brad Kaya, who had made it clear early on that Stanford was a place he really was interested in, whereas Carter-Samuels had been committed to Vanderbilt so long. So they put more time and effort into Kaya and kind of preserving that relationship until it became pretty clear that Kaya didn't want to wait as long as possible to get the Stanford offer. But because Mike Sanford was really the point man early on, as soon as he gets the job at Boise State, he revisits that relationship with Brad Kaya, and that's how Boise State gets back in the game for him.
So is he really in the game? Because I read the interview where he's like, I'm committed to Miami no matter what. I'm just taking this trip just because I'm owed one of my 5 official visits. Is there any chance they could even get him to leave Miami to go to Boise State? Because I think it's a long shot.
See, I absolutely do think that Boise State has a chance. Now, I'm not going to say they will flip him, but I certainly think they do have a chance, and here's why. Last year, Miami got a commitment from Kevin Olsen, who I think was the number 3 quarterback in the country, a 5-star prospect who everybody wanted, and he ended up going to Miami to be the quarterback of the future. They knew that Stephen Morris was a senior this year. He had one last chance to be the starter. Pretty sure that Olsen redshirted this year. But at the same time, Boise State, Joyce Southwick graduates. Nick Patty is removed from this team or leaves school on his own. And then Jalen Green, who had been committed, ends up flipping to Washington and ultimately to USC. So from just a depth standpoint, Boise State doesn't have a quote-unquote quarterback of the future right now, whereas Miami had Kevin Olsen kind of to be the guy. And, you know, if he's as good as we expect him to be, he may only be there 2 years, 3 years at the most, and so Kaya would still probably get 2 years to be the starter. Whereas at Boise, yes, Grant Hedrick's back, but the one thing about a new coaching staff, and you've seen this a little bit more and more in the last few years in college football, is that a new coach, you saw it at Cal this year when Sonny Dykes had Zach Klein, who was thought to be the heir, and then he ended up going with Jared Goff. You saw it at Texas A&M, where when Ryan Tannehill went to the NFL, Johnny Manziel became the head coach, became the quarterback. Last year, Jim Mora tabbed Brett Hundley, even though he had 2 guys that started 35 games between the two of them. So a lot of times a new coach wants to bring in that new blood and put his stamp on the program quickly. Kaya would be Boise State's guy. They would be Harsin's guy and Sanford's guy, and he would have, I think, just as fair of a chance to win the starting job were he to come in. The only downside is I don't think he can come in for spring ball, whereas guys like Grant Hedrick will already be on campus. But I think because of the depth chart and the way it plays out, Boise State, even though Kaya's saying that he's committed, if he was committed, he wouldn't have taken the visit, and Boise wouldn't have had him come in for the visit if it was just for fun.
Okay, because I know if you get him on campus, that's a huge deal, because there was something last year, some 5-star guy from State who went to San Diego State just because his teammate did. If you get him there, he can make an impression.
Right.
But with all the recruiting – or the quarterback situation, the depth chart as well, they brought in that JUCO guy. If they're not going to get – if they're not signing a high school guy, Kai is not the guy, is there anybody else they might be able to get this late in the game? Because I looked at, as far as what I could tell, researching the offers, there's nobody who has an offer to Boise State that's not committed elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, anybody else you're bringing in after Kaya is just basically there as a body. I don't think you're going to see anybody besides Kaya in this class. I mean, yes, they got Stewart coming in as a JUCO, but anybody besides Kaya in this class is just going to be a body. I don't think there's going to be any quality starter type of guys, and that's why I think that they put all the resources into Kaya, because they don't want just a body. They want a guy, and I think by making the push to get Kaya, that is making it clear that he is the guy that this staff wants, and that's why I think it's still in the realm of possibility. after him, it's a pretty big drop-off between the next available quarterbacks and somebody else is just going to be basically, in my opinion, a guy that's a career clipboard holder.
Interesting, interesting here. So let's, I can promise, we already had a Boise State, so let's move away from the Broncos real quick to something else. The next class, like, we're not going to go through every class, obviously, kind of an overview, but is there any surprise to you how San Diego State's doing? They had a good week, a few weeks, about, a month ago, brought in all these guys. They have, depending where you look at least 10 to 13, those three-star guy rankings. Are there any surprise that they're doing that well coming off this? They've been decent seasons, but nothing spectacular.
No, because I think that Tony White, the recruiting coordinator of San Diego State and the DB coach, I would say that, you know, he was our Mountain West Recruit of the Year 2 years ago. Keith Bonaparte, who went over with Peterson to Washington, was it last year, even though you could have made a valid case that Tony White deserved it last year just for getting Reuben Foster on campus for an official visit.
Yep.
But I think with Tony White just continuing to stay there at San Diego State, and having most of the Southland of California as his recruiting territory, that's why you're seeing them recruit so well. And so it's not really a surprise because Tony White really gets it. I think the other thing that San Diego State has going for that is that they're in California and then in Southern California, so they draw from a better pool than I think any of the other conference programs in terms of the talent that they have in their backyard and really in the greater area of Southern California into Riverside, into Los Angeles, into San Bernardino. But they've done a good job going up into the Bay Area and grabbing guys. They got a quarterback commit from Los Gatos High School where Trent Edwards played. They've got him committed. They've got Xavier Crawford from Concord who's committed. They've got Nye McGee, a JC guy from Pleasant Hill at the Diablo Valley, who's committed as well. Then they've got into Arizona. They've gone into Georgia. They've gone into Mississippi. I mean, they've hit the South and really kind of had a widespread net. And so it's not really that surprising when you consider that. It's only surprising if you experience the Chuck Long years and just how he mailed it in, you know, as a recruiter and made no effort. But Brady Hoke really set the precedent with his willingness and aggression with who he was going after. He wasn't going to sit idly while the San Diego kids got poached by big-time programs. He was going to go after those guys, and it's trickled down. And you look at a guy like Michael Holder, whose brother was committed to Arizona and ended up going – he went to San Diego State, but in part of a class at Oceanside where they had three or four guys committed to Pac-12 schools who all ended up at San Diego State. And that's kind of the precedent that Hoke threw down. And I think that Rocky Long is wisely continuing that trend of going after anybody anywhere instead of just saying, hey, we have no chance, they're going to the Pac-12.
So let me ask you this. Who is the absolute, you know, best recruit out of the San Diego State class?
You know, you can make a case for either one of the quarterbacks, whether it's Bodden or Christian Chapman. I would say that Michael Holder is probably the best recruit in that class. His twin brother, Elijah, is going to Stanford. Micah had four or five Pac-12 offers as well. And I think if Stanford had offered him too, he would have gone with his brother. But he didn't quite have the academics to get into Stanford like his brother did. But he has Pac-12 ability, and he wants to stay home and really be a big-time player for that program. So I would say that he's probably their best recruit that they're bringing in. You know, this class had a chance to be really good, but which has partly been the case for San Diego State. They do a great job of identifying talent early on and finding guys first and being the first ones to offer them. And then, of course, the Pac-12 schools get involved. It's like with Boise State. Pac-12 schools get involved, and the kids from Southern California have dreamed of playing there. Cameron Griffin was a top 30 kid who was a Semper Fi All-American. Once UCLA offered the kid from Los Angeles, it was a done deal. He was going to UCLA. And so, you know, holding on to guys isn't the easiest thing to do when you're competing against the Pac-12. So they had some other good recruits, but they've weathered the storm of Michael Holder getting the Pac-12 schools to bring him in for visits and sticking with his commitment.
So it's probably a matter of, I'm assuming, a couple could drop and get if they come in late for USC, Stanford, Cal, something like that. Is there any of that San Diego State kids that could have that temptation to get a big offer that you could kind of think off the top of your head that might have a chance to leave once it comes closer when the big guys lose one of the guys they've been working on for 6 months?
Absolutely. I could see a situation where a guy like Jameer Jordan, who isn't committed, but he's leaning heavily towards San Diego State. He decommitted from San Jose and looked like he was going to commit to San Diego State. He visited Washington this weekend. His teammate, Devin Burleson, who's committed to San Diego State, you know, 6'7", 260-pound athletic offensive tackle who used to be an AAU basketball star. Pac-12 teams usually find a place for him on their roster. And I think that if those guys lose out on some of their bigger targets at offensive line, Burleson might be a guy that they go after. So I would think that those two guys in particular, Xavier Crawford's another one. He was a Pac-12-level talent to me. And San Diego State, I think, got a steal with him, but it's a matter of holding on to him between now and signing day.
Yeah, that's a full week and a half away, and as you mentioned before, anything can happen from now until then. Here's an interesting question, and, you know, obviously you would definitely be the guy to ask about this. Name the best Mountain West recruiting class, not Boise State or San Diego State.
Man, you know, I like what San Jose State's done this year, and I think a big part of that, the one thing that I've noticed the Mountain West has had over the last 7-8 years is they bring in a lot of really young and aggressive recruiters, and they got a lot of guys that have, you know, were maybe assistants or GAs at Pac-12 or Big 12 programs that weren't able to do a lot of recruiting because of the NCAA rules, but they were doing a lot of the groundwork in building the relationship with those kids via email or when those kids came in on official visits. And one of the guys who I think was probably the best at that was Dante Williams, who was an underling at Washington under Demetrius Martin, who was the Pac-12 Recruiter of the Year last year at UCLA, and then Keith Hayward, who's now the DB coach at USC. Those two are probably the best DB recruiters in the Pac-12, if not, you know, in all of college football. And Dante Williams was an assistant underneath those guys. Well, now that he's at San Diego State, he's been able to kind of get let loose. And San Jose State was getting guys that San Jose State usually never got. And they were hitting Southern California hard. They were hitting hard locally. And so I really like the class that San Jose State's brought in. I think it's either a third or fourth class in the Mountain West. But in terms of, like, the average star ranking, I think it's only behind Boise State. I really like what Nevada's done, too. You know, Brian Polian made his chops at Texas A&M, at Stanford, and at Notre Dame as a phenomenal recruiter. And, you know, he's not changed that approach at all since he's been in Nevada. They just got a commitment from Corey Rush out of Salt Lake City, who at one point been an Arizona State commit. Hawkins Mann, who's been committed to Boise State and San Diego State at various times, is now committed to Nevada. And then they got probably, in my opinion, after Michael Holder, the other biggest steal at receiver, and Drew Sellis from Marin Catholic, his teammate last year. He was the main receiver for Jared Goff last year at Marin Catholic. And then his quarterback this year, Morgan Mihalik, is headed to Oregon. So in 2 years, he's played for two Pac-12 quarterbacks and been the guy. So I like what San Jose State and Nevada both have done in their classes.
Excellent. Yeah, that's awesome. I can ask a question. You're not looking at anything particular in front of you, right? You listed off about 40 names tonight. You're just probably checking your email, right, as you're talking to us?
Yeah, no, I mean, these are all names. And that's, I think, a credit to the kind of caliber of recruiting that the Mountain West is doing. It's like, these were easy names to remember that were coming off the top of my head. I mean, if I really needed to dive in, I could have, but those are the kind of caliber players they're going after that you remember those key guys that each of those classes got.
Yeah, I've noticed it too here and there, a couple of guys that are getting more of the top 150, top 300, 4 stars occasionally here and there. So let's move to the bottom. We're going to kind of smooth through this really quick. With Wyoming, they got the new head coach Craig Bull bringing a different system to what Dave Christian, who somehow landed that job at Utah. I don't know how he did that, but with Craig Bull's system in place, are they've had some pretty good success the past couple of weeks. I get they're at the bottom of the Mountain West, and even looking at, like, those composite rankings, they're about the bottom of the whole FBS. Is there any chance that Craig Bull could mold the guys, because you got to coach these guys up to have better success? Because Wyoming's had that varied success over the past decade or two. Bowl game, not good. Bowl game, not good. Can he make that change with guys he wants to bring in for how well he did at North Dakota State?
Yeah, because I think Christensen showed that you can bring in guys that are talented and mold them if you're a good developer. And I thought Christensen actually had a couple classes that were really good. It kind of chimed when he brought Jason Gesser on board as an assistant coach, Chris Tormey, who was a longtime Pac-12 assistant and then had been a coach at Nevada before, who, you know, knew how to recruit. He brought some good assistants on, and that's where I think Wyoming really raised their game in terms of recruiting. You know, Craig Bowl is at Nebraska, so again, he knows what you need to do to be a competitive program, and that's to recruit, and that's to be aggressive in your recruiting. And, you know, if he was able to get guys into North Dakota State, now granted, they were top of the line for the FCS level. Wyoming's kind of at the bottom of the barrel for the FBS level, but it's not uncommon for him. I mean, people were voting for North Dakota State in the final AP Top 25 this year. He was beating FBS teams with regularity. So, you know, if he was able to do that and convince guys that were D1 caliber players at North Dakota State, I would think he'd have the same opportunity at Wyoming. And he's got great ties in that region, in that part of the country. But also, Wyoming still has guys that are going to recruit the West Coast. And so they've got kind of a bigger net that they can choose from. But now they've got, you know, reason for hope because Bowles had great success as a head coach. I know they went through this a couple of years ago, the guy's name is escaping, but it was the coach before Christensen that they brought in from Northern Colorado. Joe Glenn, there you go. You know, Wyoming has done it before, but I think that, you know, Bowles, they've gotten a couple of good commitments in the last few weeks of guys that were FBS, BCS type caliber players. Alex Bush had an Iowa State offer from La Habra. I think there's like four guys on this team that are going to the Pac-12, and he was a legit prospect. Ryan Cummings played on an offensive line that had a Kansas State and an Army commit and a running back going to Stanford. I mean, a loaded program at Valor Christian. And then John Jackson from Canyon Del Oro, a kid that they just got a commitment from last night. So I really like where they've gone with this class, you know, especially given the time. And then, more importantly, they've held on to Austin Fort, who was a commitment to Christensen from Gillette, Wyoming, and he stuck with them. And, you know, another kid that, even though there was the coaching change, he said he still saw that's where he wants to play. So I think given the timing, that was the one thing that Bull didn't have as much to his advantage. I think he was coaching in the national championship game, and so he cost himself some time where he could have been on the road. But then again, the dead period kind of negated any of the extra recruiting he could do. But I think long-term Wyoming is set up because they've got a good X's and O's coach, but also a guy who will get after recruiting-wise.
Yeah, and so let's talk about Wyoming's rival. Let's talk about the process or an adaptation of the process working in Colorado State. How is Jim McElwain doing with those recruits? Is he bringing anybody kind of high-powered, or is Colorado State just kind of being Colorado State?
No, I mean, another one of those classes that I really like what they've done. Probably the guy that was the most significant recruit that really kind of came out of nowhere was Sylvester Hayes. He committed back in October. I mean, here's a kid who had Big 12 offers. He had Big 10 offers. He had plenty of Conference USA offers. And, you know, from what I was hearing scuttlebutt-wise, he was the kind of kid that, with a really good senior year, may have landed kind of the motherload offers, like from a Baylor or from a TCU or Texas A&M. I think Texas Tech had offered him. I know he had an offer from Utah, but he would have had some of those bigger in-state schools offer him. And then kind of out of the blue, committed to Colorado State and is stuck with them. I mean, here's a top 70 defensive end who his football upside is off the charts. They also got, you know, Bryson Gates, another kid from Texas, Coleman Key, their quarterback that they got, a big kid out of Oklahoma, you know, real good-sized kid that is kind of fits the mold of what Nick Saban likes in his quarterback, the 6'3", 6'4", big arms quarterbacks, and that's obviously what Jim McElwain is coaching at Alabama. And so I really think that they've done a good job of, again, and this is one thing that I thought that Sonny Lubick used to do really well is, he didn't just focus in the state of Colorado or on the West Coast. He went national. He went down into Florida. He went into Texas and tried to recruit guys, and that's what McElwain's doing. He's using those ties into the Southeast and really using those to his advantage, and that's why they've got a really good class in the making.
Yeah, I was reading over who they had again. Yeah, looking at Sylvester had for offers, and remember Coleman Key. One last thing. It's not about this class. It's about last year's class really quick. Fresno State, they lose Derek Carr. They had the kid, Zach Greenlee, is an Elite 11, pretty high profile guy, at least in the high school ranks. What do you think about him maybe coming and stepping in right away to replace Carr from what you kind of know from him the past year doing the high school thing, recruiting, that type of stuff with his status, what he can do?
Yeah, I mean, I probably saw Zach a dozen times over the course of his sophomore and junior year going into his senior season, then saw him again at the Under Armour All-American game last year. And being the late addition that he was, the Under Armour game, you kind of wondered, you know, is this guy going to fit in? But he was terrific at the Elite 11. He looked great at Under Armour. And, you know, Mississippi State made a late push to try to get him. They brought him in for an official visit, I think the weekend before signing day, to try to get him in, but he stayed with Fresno State. And he was a guy that every time he was in a bright stage, you know, he put up, he had great results. And the one thing that I think probably hurt him more than anything is he had, in my opinion, the best running back on the West Coast, Justin Davis, behind him at running back. And Justin Davis, you know, was playing a lot this year as a true freshman at USC before he broke his foot, and was really kind of the big game back that USC hadn't had in a few years. So Zach Greeley, here he is as this elite quarterback and this big-time quarterback, but you've got a 2,500-yard rusher who's the premier running back in the state of California, one of the top five running backs in the country. And if you're a quarterback, you don't necessarily want a running back who's going to run the ball that much, because it kind of hurts your recruitment. It kind of hurts what you're able to do stats-wise. But, you know, he weathered through it. And in a day and age where quarterbacks transfer in high school almost as much as they do in college, Zach Greeley stuck it out. And I think it may have affected his recruitment somewhat, but I think it was a lot for Fresno State to get him. And, you know, one of the guys who really took a liking to him on the spring and summer circuit was Trent Dilfer, who, like Greeley, was a Northern California kid who went down to Fresno State. And, you know, obviously Trent Dilfer had a lot of good things to say about his alma mater. And I think that, you know, he was a big reason why Zach Greeley thought Fresno State would still be the best spot for him, even when Mississippi State made that late run. So I think he's more than capable of coming in and being an impact guy for Fresno State.
Excellent.
If he could play in the secondary, he'd be even better for them.
They need a lot of that secondary. that was excellent there. That's so true. San Jose State, yeah, USC. Well, USC is a different beast for Derek Carr and that team, but still, I get your point. So, hey, man, Brad, I would like to – excellent. I know we could probably talk for hours, but we're not going to keep you forever. We've already been about 20 or so minutes. So, thanks a ton for hanging out with us, our little website here, to give us some good knowledge. A lot of people have already given some good feedback during the show now. So, get some rest and just bring some more news next week and do a good job.
You bet. Anytime you guys need me, give me a shout.
All right, thanks, man. See ya.
Take care.
Once again, thank everybody there. Brandon Huffman there from Scout.com, the national recruiting manager, I'm assuming. Special West Coast dude extraordinaire. Excellent stuff.
Guys,
excellent stuff.
He is like a machine.
That's what I said to Chris on the machine. Because I was joking. I think during the show we're talking, I'm like, I remember hearing some show. It was something with fantasy football, this other podcast I listened to. And they asked the same question. I was like, I'm going to ask this because I know he's just checking his email or looking at some random website or watching a movie and talking to us at the same time. He's spouting off names like it's no business. I'm like, type it up. You probably hear me clicking a little bit here to who's this guy who's talking about. I knew some of the names, but is excellent work, correct? Excellent. Did you get all your questions answered, Chris?
Yeah, I got most of my questions answered. I think the only one that I didn't get to talk about was New Mexico recruiting. But, I mean, he probably could have spent another half an hour on that.
They did. New Mexico, he did give us some news earlier today. I did a quick article. New Mexico did pull up a two-star receiver, Chris Davis, today, and some offensive linemen. So there, I gave you some New Mexico recruiting news, Chris.
Yay!
Do we need to discuss anything else about – you want to talk Senior Bowl? Anything else we need to discuss in the recruiting? Well, one thing, honestly, I'm very, very surprised. I think Brad Kay's voice is pretty – I would say at least from his description – 50-50 shot to go to Boise State. Is that how you'd read what Brandon said?
Yeah. It's totally, completely sounds like that.
That was the most surprising thing I got out of that, I believe.
But, I mean, I want to agree with him just because as a Boise State fan, yeah. But on the other hand, the thing that kind of troubles me is just – I don't want to say the arrogance of Kaya in what he said and how he phrased his word. But, I mean, we know that these are high school kids. They word things, you know, kind of off. But I think really just I think what's interesting is that you're right. Why would the Boise State staff spend so much effort on him if he made some statement like this?
I get the point. He made Reuben Foster, and for the guy from, I think he's from Alabama, San Diego State. That guy's referencing to their brand. Pulled out his name, of course. So it's like what I mentioned the other show, the other couple. If you get a guy on campus, that's the best thing you can do. It doesn't matter if he's committed for 2 years to go to Southern school. If you can get him on campus that last weekend or weekend before, you have a shot. Because I guess I thought Carter Samuels would have been closer to committing to what he told everybody from reading on that stuff, but if you get him on campus, you're good. Because I was thinking the way – because I was kind of harsh on the kid, but I get it. They're 17, 18, whatever. They're going to make stupid things. I know a lot of kids think the same way. I'm going to take all my 5 visits just because whether I like the school or not, or have some sort of interest. There has to be some sort of interest. Like I said, the Mike Sanford connection, there was some sort of interest in Boise State. And people bash me and sort of like, well, you can take it out of context. I'm like, dude, reading what the whole article was, it was all – I know it was framed around going to Miami. It was a Miami-based website. But him saying, I earned or deserved that free trip, you would think Boise coaches could say, well, no, don't come because you don't care. But they, like I said, he did come to campus, right? He's there as we speak right now.
Exactly. And so, you know, most likely Boise State's not going to get Kaya. But if we get close, well, you know, there's that chance. And, I don't want to dwell on this because I feel like we talk about Boise State recruiting all the time.
And we already had our Boise State show, but they've had some interest. Coaching change. That's why I went on Wyoming, because they had a coaching change, even though we've had our Wyoming guy, Ian McHacken, last week. I still want to see other people on the state because coaching changes are a big deal in recruiting, especially when they're any type of years. So that's why we dwell on Boise State. They brought in good guys or good players. They had interesting players committed to them. So that's the reason we topped on. We get some flack, oh, you don't talk about this school or this school. Well, we're not going to keep Brandon on for 2 hours to talk 20 minutes on every school. We want to talk about what people want to talk about, and that's a lot of Boise State. San Diego State having a good class. Like Jim McElwain from what he did to Alabama. Me bringing up Zach Greenlee, even from last Greenlee from last year, because he could be the starter for Fresno. We bring up what we assume people want to hear about. Right? Is that fair enough? Because I gave you your New Mexico fix tonight, right? Because you wanted it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, okay. Is there anything else we discuss? You want to talk Senior Bowl, anything else like that? Are we good to go? Any other topics? You've been gone for 2 shows.
I know. Basketball. Shooty hoops.
Oh, you do want to talk about hoops for a minute?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about hoops?
If you listen to my last show, I make it like you twist my arm to talk hoops. This show is about creating hoops. Last night, there was – did you watch San Diego State and Utah State?
Yes.
I'm kicking myself. I didn't find out a way to drive the 2 hours to the Spectrum.
Yeah, right? But that game was ridiculous. I will say – the other ridiculous game, what about Wyoming flying under the radar?
They are, because they'd be, I guess, technically upset Nevada in overtime, but it wasn't home, and that's not really an upset, but record-wise. But the top of the Mountain West is pretty, after New Mexico and San Diego State, it's pretty crowded for that third to fifth spot.
Right.
Or even lower. Because Boise
and
is under
down here in Vegas, I mean, UNLV almost got completely upset by Fresno State, which shouldn't have even happened.
Yeah.
And just
– I don't know. It's interesting. We'll do some more basketball-related shows. We've got signing day coming up, and I'm trying to get on as many people as we can. But, yeah, basketball is going to be interesting because look at the standings really quick. Nevada's still sitting good at 5-2. We got Nevada, Wyoming, 2 losses. Boise, UNLV, 3 losses. Then CSU, Air Force, Utah – and Air Force has 4 losses. Even Utah State has 5 losses, and they're not that bad of a team. So any given week, a win or a loss here and there, like say Nevada won, the top 3 would have been pretty much solidified: New Mexico, Nevada, San Diego State. Now there's a jump for that third to seventh spot in the league, even lower.
Right, and I mean
but
even Boise
State at
4-3.
Right.
Right.
Say that again.
I said even Boise State at 4-3. You know, they've lost to San Diego State. They've lost to New Mexico. But at the same time, they lost to Wyoming, who Wyoming's 4-2 in the conference. So,
you know, Wyoming at home, I can argue three toughest places to play, not in any order: San Diego State, Utah State, and Wyoming.
Oh, yeah.
Wyoming.
No. San Diego State, Utah State, New Mexico.
Well, okay, sorry, the Pit. Yeah, I apologize, Pit. But every team, like look at 2 years ago, every team pretty much won at home, even before CSU made that run. And Boise State 2 years ago, they were winning or losing to single digits in overtime to San Diego State, UNLV, all these good teams coming New Mexico into their home court when Mountain West sent all these teams to the second weekend.
Anyway, so we'll talk about basketball.
Once signing day's over, we'll devote some basketball specific shows. Does that sound fair, everybody?
Absolutely.
So we're going to wrap up the show tonight. Once again, we are now on live because people are listening live now, even though the first few minutes was still a little iffy. And my microphone might not sound the best because I think it broke before right before I sat down. But we're on Blog Talk Radio. We're still on SoundCloud. We're still on iTunes. We're still on Stitcher. We're still trying to take over the world in every aspect possible. Check us out at MWConnection.com. And once again, I want to thank Brandon Huffman from Scout.com. Amazing recruiting stuff. And we will check everybody out next show, which should be next week.
I got one more plug.
What is your plug?
I got one more plug. Okay. We got 14 minutes live remaining, but I have one more plug. Okay.
Yeah, we
still have not done our football recap award show.
Correct.
This is going to be a huge show. We're going to have some of our writers come on. Maybe you will have other people. We still don't know yet. But if you, the listeners, and whoever listens to this podcast afterwards, if you guys want a say in what kind of awards we should have and who should be winning those awards, send either Jeremy a tweet or an email or send me a tweet or an email.
And to do that, send the Twitter to Greek Padre or MWC Connection. Email myself at MountainWestFootball@gmail.com. MountainWestFootball@gmail.com. We'll discuss business now. Are we going to have where everybody can vote on this, like mid-season?
Yeah. Let's have everybody vote on this. We're going to have a giant article that everybody can vote on, like how we add the Google Box. We'll dress up in suits and ties again.
Yeah, this is going to probably be video again, and we'll see who we bring on. And if we're going to have everybody vote on this, this will probably be a thing probably a couple weeks down the road then, because we want to give everybody at least 1 week to vote on this. That's fair. And so, yeah, look for that. Probably can we, you and me, put it together in a week and a half maybe, within a week of at least a Google document maybe?
Yes.
And can I say right now, we're going to have best uniform, but every answer is only going to be Wyoming rainbow uniforms. That's the only option you have.
If you do not vote for Hawaii rainbow uniforms, you are wrong.
No, I'm not giving you the option. There's going to be four choices. They're all going to be that rainbow uniform option.
You can't do that.
Why not?
You can't do that.
Fine.
I'm going to do this communist style. It won't be Russian democracy where there's one choice four times. It's going to be, you know, five or six different choices, but the one choice, regardless of what happens, is still going to win.
Okay, that's fine. I was going to go the other way to make it funny, but that works as well. We'll give our votes. We'll do that, so we'll try to put something together like that.
We can have a separate award for Hawaii Rainbow Uniforms.
Okay. We'll do something like that. So we'll have that, hopefully, the document within about a week or so. We'll put something together, good stuff. Like, send us your feedback, any questions, awards, any category we should think of or stuff we missed. So we'll definitely do that. So, yeah, look for that soon. So we'll do the video in a couple weeks, probably after signing day, probably mid-February. Football season is still okay because spring hasn't started yet. So we'll do that in a couple weeks. So I want to thank everybody for listening live, listening later. However you're listening, let us know. Comment on who you'd like the first to get on the show, things like that. And once again, MWCConnection.com. And we'll, like I said, next show, stick right here to find out what we're going to be talking about next time.